I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right. We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to just keep our composure.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns as I crush so-called Willie's thugs and rapadons.
Hey, let's do this. Welcome back in. 107. Hope your Mondays are going well. There's a lot to get to today, man. Feels good. There's a lot going on. Sports are on the brink, or at least hopefully on the brink of coming back. I was thinking about that this weekend, too. Despite how big of a cluster it was for Major League Baseball and things are not going well for the MLS, we'll get to that as well. But like, you realize if things are able to hold on, we could be like 3 weeks away from having baseball, hockey, basketball, like all that stuff could be going on at the same time.
Cautiously optimistic. I'm just holding out at this point. I'll take hockey.
You're going to settle for hockey
if they
it's your base level.
They're going to be in Canada, which things aren't going as bad.
Right.
And playoff hockey, some of the best sports out there, man. So if they can get through that NHL with no hiccups, I mean, I'll be happy with that at this point.
I'm with you. I'll take anything I can get. It was just nice to watch teams back on the field practicing, getting ready for a baseball season that hopefully will happen. We did get this note from Adam Schefter. So if you missed it, the big news of the day is Patrick Mahomes signing a 10-year contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to keep him in Kansas City at least until the 2031 season. The deal, according to Adam Schefter, is worth over $400 million in total. He then adds, the more significant question is, how much over $400 million? So that's all we've gotten from Schefter is the what it's over. It is over $400 million. Must be nice, man. You ever signed a $400 million contract?
A couple times in Madden.
Yeah,
probably cumulatively,
you know,
my career.
You racked it up as the years went on.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that wild? So, yeah, we mentioned in that segment a while back that the biggest contract in sports history is Mike Trout's 12-year, $426.5 million deal. And if the thing is over $400 million, I'm willing to guess that it's I think he's going to get it. Isn't that wild, too, to think? Like, imagine saying that to somebody a couple years ago. The biggest contract in sports history is going to be handed out in the NFL. With the contracts we've seen in baseball, I would have never expected that. No salary cap, pay him as much as you want. Like, would have never imagined that. But it looks like we could be heading for that. Schefter saying over $400 million. Did you watch any golf this weekend, Joe Fish?
No, not as much.
Not as much?
Yeah, not really at all, now that I think about it. 4th of July, the boy had him for the whole time. Rocket Mortgage Classic. It wasn't a big field, not as many names as the last few tournaments. So, yeah, I saw some of the scores, too, and it was like dudes were going off. And so I'm like, okay, this could be some good golf, but Not a challenging course, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been a lot of low numbers thrown up. Like, even Webb Simpson won a couple weeks ago at, like, 22 under par. Like, that's kind of been the norm so far. I don't know if it's fans, it's condition. It's just kind of weird. But, yeah, guys are going super low. But I'm with you. Like, it wasn't DeChambeau potentially winning was an interesting note for me to follow. Yesterday, I was in and out of the house doing yard work, and not overly compelling, to be honest. Like, he got off to a hot start. Matthew Wolf, who's a lot of fun, great young player, I think came out and bogeyed a couple early holes or something like that, and it was like a quick swing, and all of a sudden DeChambeau was up by three or four. And then you had to wait. Like, towards the end, DeChambeau had a hole where he hit one OB into a water hazard, and then he started to slip a little bit. Wolf got hot and it made you wonder, all right, could there be something coming here? But then he bounced back and birdied 16 and 18, I want to say, maybe even 17 too. But DeChambeau ended up winning the tournament. He is very good for the game of golf. I will say that. But there were differing headlines that came out from his victory that really just highlighted, in my opinion, a PR nightmare. Like, Bryson DeChambeau is a guy that was already a little controversial for some to begin with. His style, the way he interacts, his mannerisms. He takes a long time on the course. And if you're a passionate golf fan, you already had a certain sense about him in your head. You either kind of liked him or you didn't. And most people don't really like him, but he's kind of reshaped himself literally and figuratively in this COVID stuff because he came out of quarantine bulked up. And we talked about it last week, the diet that he was eating, like steak and potatoes every night and bacon and eggs and protein shakes all day. Like, the guy bulked up. He put on a ton of muscle, a ton of weight, and he's just Hulk Hogan out there. And it's pretty crazy to watch him golf. We just haven't seen a guy. Like, Brooks Koepka was the biggest guy that was out there, and he makes him look small at this point, right? Well, what should have been a great weekend for DeChambeau, because he won, and he has been a top 10 machine, and the only criticism of him since coming back has been, can he take this formula and turn it into wins, which is, I'm not a huge fan of the criticism, because again, he's finishing top 10, top 5. Like, he's playing great golf.
Yeah, this was his sixth consecutive top 10 finish.
Dude, that's crazy. I think he's got 20-something rounds straight or close to 20 rounds of being under par, consecutive rounds of being under par. Like, dude, the guy's lighting up courses, but he did finally pile on a win. Unfortunately, it felt like the bigger headline out of the weekend, at least it was for me, and maybe some fans disagree with that, was what happened to him on Saturday. So if you didn't follow on Saturday, DeChambeau got off to a really good start. He was somewhere, I believe, on the front nine, and he hit a bad shot out of a bunker. So he was trailing the leader a little bit, trying to get back into the mix. He hit a bad shot out of a bunker, and a cameraman followed him around as he walked out of the bunker. So DeChambeau hits the shot. He kind of whiffs his club in the sand a little bit in frustration. We've all been there before. Everybody has moments boiling over of frustration on a golf course.
Bad look, Andy.
Right? Like, everybody, this is the most relatable thing he's ever done, is being frustrated on a golf course.
I don't lose my composure out there whatsoever.
Never. I'm smiling the entire round, no. Even when I hit a drive out of bounds.
That divot back there on 15, not me. No.
So he's walking out of the bunker. He says something to the cameraman, who's just following him around, filming him like he always does. And then after the hole is done, I think he bogeyed the hole. He gets done with the hole. He goes up. And he confronts him for like a minute or two before walking to the next tee box, right? He goes on this long rant after the tournament. So we're some audio with this, but I'll read what he said. This is after the round. He said, so there was something that happened. I mean, nothing crazy, but I had a cameraman that was filming me after I hit a bad bunker shot. I whiffed the sand a little bit, which I shouldn't have done. That was dumb. But he said at the end of the day, he was literally watching me the whole entire way up after getting out of the bunker, walking up next to the green. I was like, sir, is there this need to watch me that long? I mean, I understand that it's his job to video me, but at the same point, I think we need to start protecting our players out here compared to showing a potential vulnerability and hurting someone's image. Continued, I don't think it's necessarily the right thing to do. Not that I was going to do anything bad. It's just one of those things. I hope he respects my privacy. As much as we're out here performing, I think it's necessary that we have our times of privacy as well as when things aren't going our way. I mean, we're in the spotlight. If somebody else is in the spotlight, they wouldn't want that either. It's just something that I respect. He went on to say it's about his brand, all this kind of stuff, right? You got to protect my brand here. I'm out here playing golf, which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, because when Bryson DeChambeau hits a drive that's 379 yards, he wants the camera guy right behind him as he's like walking down the fairway with his muscles popping, bragging about how he's going to hit a pitching wedge into a par five for his second shot, right? He wants them there in that moment. You got, like, that's part of the business, man. The cameras are going to follow you around. Also, how short-sighted could you be in thinking that showing frustration on the course is bad for your image?
I mean, it kind of shows that you care, right? If anything, right?
Doesn't that humanize you?
Yeah.
Is it like, you could, I'm sure, find a YouTube video that's like an hour long of Tiger Woods slamming clubs, cussing, yelling at himself for hitting a bad shot, and Tiger Woods is one of the most, if not the most popular golfer to ever play the sport.
One of the videos that was going around was of last year, him at a tournament. I want to say it was the Genesis Open?
Sure.
I don't know, something. And he's pitching out of the sand and pitches it up onto the green a little off to the left and just audibly goes, F this hole. And then proceeds to walk out of the sand, slam his sand wedge into the grass to where it like gets stuck as if you've like thrown
right,
a sword
into it. Yeah.
And it's like, and that was just off of a cell phone camera. That was just, you know, a patron filming. And it's like, when you are right now one of the top golfers on the tour, cameras should probably be on you just about your whole entire round. Yeah. Like, there might not be a moment, like, he might have seen that one in his vantage point. Who knows? There might be one off to the right and off to the left of him filming. It's like, you're getting filmed that whole damn round. So as far as, like, hey, don't film me, I could blow up, and I don't want that to hurt my brain. Dude, you're being watched this right. whole time.
Right. You were the most talked about golfer since the return of the sport. Because of what you look like and how far you're hitting your drives.
Right.
Right. This is what comes with the territory. There are going to be cameras following you on every shot when you're in contention and you're playing the way that you're playing. He explained it. We'll get to that coming up next. I'm curious people's thoughts on this. 503-250-1080. Just how do you feel about it? Is there any validity to what he's saying about protecting his brand or the cameraman shouldn't show it? And I also will give him credit, and we'll talk about the way that he's playing and the way it's, some people are arguing, changing golf, because the numbers behind what he did this weekend are incredible. But we'll get to that coming up next on 1080 The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, your show's kind of going a blur today. I realize we just skipped over the NFL whip around.
So, you know, I was going to say something.
I wasn't
also
even paying attention, man. We're just letting it roll today. We're riding this one out.
Yeah, screw it. Not this one, right?
There are some NFL notes we'll get to, including things not going well for one organization. Also, we have odds on what Washington's new team name will be.
Oh.
We'll see if people like those. The Odd Sharks came out with their odds. We'll see what people want to gamble on. We were talking some Bryson DeChambeau, though, who won the Rocket Mortgage Classic over the weekend. Now, since you didn't watch, you probably missed this, too, but the trophy is like the O in Rocket, and it's like on a T.
I did see the trophy, yeah.
Okay, so he won, and I was curious to watch his. I watched the last couple of holes because I actually had money on him and then started rooting against my bet because I wanted Matthew Wolf to win, but the guy's been automatic in the top 10, so I've been throwing a couple of bucks on him every tournament he's played. And it has this O with a T on it that sticks into like a larger base. And he went down to grab the trophy and he pulled the top off of it and was holding it like just the T and the O, like, ha ha, I got my trophy. And then I think somebody around him was like, dude, no, it goes in the
Bryson,
thing. You have to go with. So he had to like put it back in and like screw it back on and then like, wait, what? And like grab the thing from the bottom.
Sorry, I'm just so strong.
Yeah, right.
Rip this trophy apart.
You just broke the damn thing.
My bad.
We got some great texts coming in. I want to read some of them. There was one other quote. We'll get to him explaining it, by the way, here in a moment. There was one other quote that I really enjoyed. So this was him post-round Saturday. He blows up at a cameraman for following him because he hit a bad shot in the sand and he didn't want to be shown in that light. Like, just listen to this and realize how tone deaf it is. This is what he said after the round. Quote, we don't mean anything by it. We just care a lot about the game. For that to damage our brand like that, that's not cool in the way we act. Because if you actually meet me in person, I'm not too bad of a dude. I don't think. So that's the thing. I hope we can get to the point where everybody understands that we just care a lot about the game. We want to do well. We're passionate about what we do. And we want everybody to enjoy the entertainment. We don't want the negative stuff coming down. Like, dude, how tone deaf can you be? Blowing up on a golf course, like, there are limits to what fans want to see. There's no doubt about it. But having a moment of frustration makes you far more relatable than hitting a 380-yard drive.
Yeah, was he afraid he was going to go, like, Happy Gilmore and start choking out his caddy or something like that?
Yeah, right. Like, somebody showed the...
You don't want to see me when I'm angry.
The clip of Happy Gilmore throwing the flag stick and it knocking the cameraman off was like DeChambeau to the cameraman. It's like, dude, we know you don't mean anything by it. We play golf. We understand that it's a frustrating sport. We duff shots or we shank a tee, whatever, miss a putt. Everybody has those blow up moments. That makes you relatable as a golfer. Now, there are some guys like I ranted about this a couple of weeks ago. Kevin Na, who's a golfer. If you watch the tour, you know, he takes a long time and he can complain a lot sometimes. And he was, this was like 2 weeks ago, I think, at the tournament. They were showing him a lot because he was one of the early morning guys that was playing. And he was complaining about a shot being like landing on the green, but 10 yards off of his landing spot. Right. Like he'd finish his swing, drop his club, like start cussing. See the ball land on the green. You're like, dude, you're going to lose me on that. Yeah. Especially once in a while, whatever. But he was doing it. It felt like every hole just complaining. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to play with that kind of golfer. But the moments of frustration are human. And to act like we don't want to see that or that should be hidden from the general public because it's bad for your brand just doesn't make any sense. So he goes on to win the tournament, and then I think this was on Instagram, right?
Yeah, and did you listen to this whole thing by chance?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so we're good. I didn't need to like bleep anything out.
I don't think so.
Oh.
No, okay. I don't think you do.
Okay.
So. But have your finger ready just in case.
We're going down this road together.
So here goes this journey. So DeChambeau went on Instagram Live after he won yesterday, and he was like taking questions from fans, and somebody again brought up, you know, what was the deal with the cameraman? Why did you do that? And here he is in his own words.
I don't understand. The guy was videoing me for a minute after a shot, like a full minute. That's just, you know, obsessive. I mean, it's not the cameraman's. It's nobody's fault. It's just, you know, there's got to be a little bit of respect. That's all. I understand it's his job. Absolutely. I'm not saying he didn't do his job. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, you know, if he videos you for a minute after you hit a shot, trying to get you to capture something where you could potentially get mad. No, that's ridiculous. I wasn't going to get mad anyway. It was just like he was trying to catch me. Like he was being it wasn't respectful. And that's one of those things. It's just not right. That's all it is. Nothing problem. Not a big deal. Look, much respect for everybody out there. No issues. People are going to make a big deal out of nothing. It was a nothing burger deal. Nothing. You know, I just trying to protect the tour. I'm trying to protect all the players on the tour. That's all I'm trying to do. Y'all are making this a bit aggressive and obsessive. Nothing to it, guys. Nothing to it except that
I made it a thing.
Right, and I continue to make it a thing. It is such a PR nightmare because if this doesn't happen on Saturday, and I'm going to give him his credit here in a moment, but if that doesn't happen on Saturday, the entire conversation is today about the way he's playing, how far he's hitting the ball, how he's, some are trying to argue, revolutionizing the game. He is now the favorite, I believe, in all three majors to be played. I think he is now, you go look on the Vegas boards, he's the odds-on favorite to win all of them. He's a top 10 machine right now. Like, everybody's talking about him and his game. And it's nothing but positive news. But this is kind of one of those deals that makes people, you remind yourself, like, oh, that's right, that's why I don't like this guy. That was the way he was before all this, you know, positive. He bulked up and look how strong he is and look how far he's hitting a golf ball. You just wish there were people in somebody's ear like that to say, man, let it go. Say, look, I lost my cool. Shouldn't have gotten the cameraman's face. He was just doing his job. It's no big deal.
Yeah, isn't it?
Story's over. Like, that's all you got to say.
Isn't it ironic that him trying to defend his brand and looking bad has made him in turn look bad and hurt
right.
his brand?
Like, it's hurt his brand far more than any duff in the sand or right bad moment on the golf course can
do. I know we're not big fans of the whole like shut up and dribble and you know just shut up, but I think this is one moment where yeah, you should have just shut up and go and hit your next shot.
Just move on, man. Just move on. It is, somebody said, just when I thought I couldn't dislike him anymore, somebody said, what an idiot. If you aren't going to get mad, then you have nothing to worry about. At a televised professional sporting event, there are cameras everywhere.
Is he going
to
murder someone? Like,
right. Somebody said, it's amazing how Bryson usually seems like he's from another planet, but can be so relatable at times. In the end, though, he's a tool. Somebody said, just goes to show you how much pressure Tiger was under, not only the cameras, but giant galleries. Yeah, you think this is a lot of pressure and camera following you? Dude, try living in Tiger shoes for a little bit. Well,
and also the whole, like, protect the tour and the players. Like, I'm sorry, did anybody ask you to, like, be the protector of the tour?
Yeah, nobody did. Like, now, he's just trying to deflect. He brought Tiger's name up a bunch in his Saturday post round two. God. Like, when cameras follow Tiger, like, he's trying to rope other people in this. Like, I'm not on this island by myself.
And, hey, you're not Tiger Woods. So.
Right. Let's not quite go there yet, Bryson.
A little bit of apples to oranges there.
Yeah, it just, it's unfortunate. But I will give him credit for the way that he's playing, and I, you know, watching where he goes, I think is going to be one of the more telling things in all of golf. And I will say this, and I feel this way about athletes that are similar to him in every single sport. He is great for the game of golf because there's a lot of guys that will come up and they're the next up and coming dude, or they're the next big thing. and you don't really have an opinion on them, right? You just, most people like them, or they, you know, whatever. Like, you just, like, Jordan Spieth is this way. Jordan Spieth got off to as good of a career start as you could, like, dream of, right? Winning a couple of majors and being in contention every single week, like, he, like, competing for almost winning a Grand Slam one year. Like, Jordan Spieth was the next big thing in golf. You didn't really have an opinion on him. He wasn't controversial in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not saying you have to be controversial just to get eyeballs on the sport. But when you mention the name now, Bryson DeChambeau, you have that, something pops into your head.
Yeah, I mean, initially, before this tour started back up, my initial thought was like, oh, that's the guy that wears the goofy little hats, and he's kind of a douche, right?
Right.
Not a lot of people like him, right?
That was kind of the thought process.
And then he comes out jacked, ripping drives, 340+, and yep. I think I saw something that he had 22 drives over this weekend that were over 344 yards. Like, just unreal numbers that we've had never seen.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that he swings it too. I said to you before the show, I was like, dude, he looks like a baseball player out here, out there, like squishing the bug and everything. Like,
he does. It's crazy.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, but he is just gripping it and ripping it on every single shot. He hit yesterday, what was it? I want to say the 16th hole. I think it was the 16th. It was towards the end of the round, and he was looking a little shaky. He bogeyed a hole. Wolf was making a charge at him. I think he was only two up. He hit a drive in the rough on the left side, and it was a par five. He was 230 yards out on a par five for his approach.
Went and punched a child. Was not caught on camera.
He hit an 8-iron from the rough over a tree, 230 yards, that was pin high and had an eagle putt.
Dude.
Like, what? What? No, that's not how this is played. So you mentioned him doing things that people haven't seen before. He broke this weekend. He broke the PGA Tour record for driving distance average throughout the course of a tournament. That record was set by Tiger Woods at the Open Championship in 2005. You think of the conditions, the wind at the Open too, right? You get the ball rolling, and if you get some backwind, Tiger in the 05 Open averaged 341.5 yards per drive. Okay, so that was the PGA Tour record. It held for 15 years. DeChambeau just broke it this weekend, averaging 350.6. The only guy that's come close, it looked like, was DJ back in 2016 at the WGC Invitational, averaged 341.3. So he didn't just break it. He shattered it by almost 10 yards.
So, yeah, we're seeing power on the PGA course that we haven't seen in basically a decade and a half.
We've never seen, like, even like he's taking what Tiger did in his prime and taking it even to another level.
Right. Yeah.
And that's where I want to give him what he did was douchey on Saturday. I needed to bring it up just because that's such a bad PR look, and it reminds people, like, this is why people don't like you, and you just need somebody in your ear that's going to shape the message a little bit better, because he's got everything going for him right now, and he would be the talk of golf. Don't do yourself any harm. But you got to give him the credit as a player, because what he has done is unbelievable, and he's finishing in the top five in every tournament he's playing. He just piled his first win on since the post, you know, COVID break and all that stuff. He's the favorite, as I mentioned, in all the majors coming up now. I know he is at the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, I believe at the Masters as well. And people are now saying, can he revolutionize the game of golf? Watching what he does this year is going to keep people coming back to television, and I hope that he realizes that. Let your game do the speaking. Quit with this douchey confronting a cameraman stuff. It's just a really bad look. But DeChambeau was in the news for the right and wrong reasons this weekend. He wins the tournament. I think he shot a 65 yesterday, 7-under 65, also confronted a cameraman. And we have a poll question on that. Do you like Bryson DeChambeau? At Durton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We'll answer those coming up at the end of the show. Let's go to the NFL, shall we? We got odds coming for potentially a name change in D.C. Also, owners wanting to get out. An update that we've seen on the Patrick Mahomes contract. We'll talk a little NFL next, but first, here's Joe with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague, gone. On 1080 The Fan. Go.
Well, it was an eventful weekend in D.C. We were doing the show on Thursday. I think we went for the ticker to D.C., didn't we? Talk about a name change. I think that was Thursday.
Yes, we did. We went to two cities.
That's right. Just we did that in there, Arizona, I think it was.
I believe so. Arizona or Denver.
Could have been Denver. Yeah, it's all a blur. I don't know what the hell's going on.
We're global. We're international. We're all over the place, you know?
What day is it? I don't know. But it was an eventful weekend in D.C. So that was starting to percolate late last week, is the financial pressure from businesses to change the NFL name in Washington. And it led to, I think the first real big domino in this was when Nike pulled all their stuff off the website. And I believe that happened on Thursday.
Isn't that is like the most subtle hint ever?
Dude, you just yank it all off of there. So you couldn't buy any of that stuff. There was some stuff going on with FedEx. I think FedEx is a big partner of theirs, and they were pushing for it, and the CEO of FedEx, right? So this was building and building and building, and then...
Yeah, wasn't the number like $640 billion worth of investors that represent companies right. or something like that? Yeah.
That are tied in with the team. So yeah. It led to them releasing a statement saying, we're gonna analyze this.
But Ron Rivera said that this isn't the time for that. So.
He actually, yeah, I know. That's a tough spot for him to be in. And them saying analyze, a lot of people are pretty concrete, confident that they're going to change the name.
Yeah.
So before we get to that, I did want to point out one other issue with their franchise right now. And that is they apparently have a trio of minority owners. So we know Dan Snyder is the majority owner of the team. I think he owns 60%, I want to say. Of the franchise, there are three people, businessmen, Robert Rothman, Dwight Schar, and Frederick Smith.
I was really hoping you were going to say Dwight Schrute.
yeah, like, from Schrute
wow,
Farms.
Wow, those beets are really turning in profits, huh?
Schrute Farms hit it big, man. They own about 40% of the team, those trio of gentlemen. They have hired an investment banking firm to undergo search for possible buyers. So the minority owners of the team, Snyder's the majority owner, the minority owners of the team are now, they went out and they're not happy being a partner with Daniel Snyder. So if you're wondering how things could go outside of just a name change for DC, there's your update. All the other owners are wanting out because they don't want to work with Daniel Snyder anymore. But I saw this and I want to know how people feel about it. So the Oddshark came out with the odds and I saw these. I was golfing on Friday. And we got done. We're having a beer after the round. Somebody brought it up. Like, here's the Odd Shark odds. They've now revised them. Okay. So this is according to BetOnline AG. Here are the favorites to become the new NFL team name in Washington. You ready for these? The Red Tails is the favorite.
Right.
Which is in honor of, I believe, of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes.
I think that was the connection there.
Yes.
So the Red Tails plus 300. The Generals plus 400.
Right.
Washington General. The Washington Presidents is plus 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Washington Lincolns plus 600.
That's a big no for me.
Then you go down a little further down the list. I'll just rattle them off. Veterans, Capitals, Americans, Memorials, Monuments, Kings, Roosevelts, Red Hawks, Jeffersons, Renegades, Arlingtons.
God, some of those are garbage.
So those are
the
odds.
Let's name it after an old white man that died 350 years ago.
Unfortunately, the Sentinels is not on there because I think you just go full Keanu Reeves replacements.
That's right.
Take the jerseys, Washington Sentinels.
All these names, it's the dumb lawsuits and trademarks. You know, if they go there, go that route, then Paramount Pictures are suing them because, well, we use that in a right. movie. And it's like, damn right. it. Because I'd be all for that for sure.
Yeah, if they went that route. I think the only other team that's been named after a movie is... the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and they've changed right. ultimately to just being the Ducks.
Yeah, and that was a whole thing from Disney, like, hey, let's create a sports team and name right. them after our sports movies.
Right, make them in this area. So the Washington Generals, that, of course, already exists in the Harlem Globetrotters world. I think the CEO of the Harlem Globetrotters league, whatever, he came out and said, we'll sell you the name, like, you can have it. We'd love for you to take the name.
But again, the Washington Generals are the team that get dunked on for
yes.
the entire time. So
very true.
I don't know if you want that name.
Yeah, Red Tails, to me seems like a pretty easy solution. You go to honoring a really proud moment of American history. Red is still in there. You can keep the same color scheme. You right. throw like an airplane on the side of the helmet. That seems like a pretty easy fix, does it not?
Yeah, but there's a, you know, it could be the cynic in me, but there's something that tells me that a man that was adamant about not changing the name Redskins would then change the team name to honor a group of African-American soldiers. Right. You know, like you said, it seems like it is a solid choice. That's a badass mascot. I mean, dog right. fights and all that, the Air Force. I mean,
dude, it's a great nickname.
But yeah, it's just like once you get into the like, oh, who are the Red Tails again? That Dan Snyder honoring them. I'm going to put my money against that.
Well, they are the favorite right now on BetOnline.
Prove me wrong.
I know. I'm with you there. I would love to. Some of the other ones, though, like the last name of the Lincolns, the Jeffersons.
No, just no.
No, I'm out on that one.
No.
I think Grants was one of them, too. I'm out on all that. Americans, I don't think you can go that. That's a little bold. Like, just saying you're the Americans.
If you
like,
don't
no.
root for us, you're unpatriotic.
Yeah, we already have America's team, which is stupid anyways, but Dallas already claims that. Capitals being one, you can't have two of the same name in the same city, so I'm straight out on that. Presidents, not a huge fan. Generals, generals wouldn't be bad, but your connotation is funny with the Globetrotters. They're the team that always loses to the Globetrotters.
They embarrass themselves.
So you got that problem going for you. Red Hawks, I think that's made up. Is a Red Hawk an actual thing?
A red-tailed hawk? Yeah.
Red-tailed hawk? Okay, Red Hawks is one of the names? Okay.
Yeah. So I just don't know if there's any, like, link to
that
Washington.
Exists in D.C. I'm all for the Red Tails. I'd like to see him go that route, although Sentinels not on the board would be my favorite. Go full movie.
Yep.
So that was the big news for Washington over the weekend. Their three other owners went out. They don't want to work with Daniel Snyder anymore, and then they're changing the name. It looks like everybody seems pretty adamant about that. You can actually go bet on that in certain places what the next name will be. As of Friday, Presidents was the favorites, and now as of today, Red Tails is the favorites.
I honestly feel like Presidents might just be the least effort put into a name.
The Presidents for sure would be.
Like, okay, so we're in Washington, D.C. What should we name our team? Well, the Presidents live here. Sure. All right, cool. We're done.
Yeah, let's go
Get
Presidents.
Get that on the paper. We're done. Okay.
Come on now. The other one that's likely going to change, it looks like this happened at the same time over the weekend. We'll see if others follow. I don't know if the Braves or the Blackhawks, the Chiefs, I don't know how far this is going to go.
Well, I mean, we see that it's happening in the MLB now with the Cleveland Indians.
The Cleveland Indians were the next one.
I think, personally, it'd be badass if they went back to the Cleveland Spiders.
Dude, they are. So I'm glad you brought that up. So I tweet at Theodore Johnson, go look at this. There was a fan that made a mock-up of this like 2 years ago. Those are like the coolest uniforms I've ever seen.
Dude, a spider is a badass mascot.
They're awesome, dude. It's got a spider, and I think it was their team name back in like the 1800s or something like that.
Yeah,
like early on. But you can go a bunch of different cool looks. The logo that the fan created was not like a web and the circle with the C in the middle. You can keep the same C if you want to. Do some spiderweb stuff on the unis. Like, it was an awesome look. And I believe Spiders, last I looked on online, was the favorite to become the new name of the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, and I remember when I was playing like ESPN college basketball back in the day on Xbox, and I had a game against the Richmond Spiders.
Uh-huh.
And I thought to myself, I was like, the Spiders? Oh, I like that. I was like, that's bad. What?
Right.
Richmond Spiders. Is Richmond any good? Do I want to go there when I grow up? I thought the Spiders was like the coolest idea.
It is a cool name.
And Richmond is literally the only school team, anything with any sort of spider mascot. I can't think of any others. And it's like, dude, spiders are scary as hell. You definitely want that as a mascot.
Yeah, I saw the person that tweeted out the mock-up of the Cleveland Indians' new Cleveland Spiders uniforms. Somebody tweeted it out and it kind of went viral this weekend. There was the Richmond Spiders basketball account hopped on and was like, whoa, dude. Come on, man.
We've been here for a while now.
That's our name. So, yeah, there's different odds out. I'm trying to pull them up. I just had them up a minute ago. Like, Dobies was one. Buckeyes was one. There was other odds that came out. But it looks like Cleveland Indians also leaning towards changing their name. They released a statement, I think, on Friday saying, we're going to get together. Basically the same statement that Washington sent out, that we're going to plan a path forward that is inclusive of everybody. So it looks like Cleveland, we could have two new pro sports team names.
Dude, imagine those like alternate unis with just nothing but like spider webs instead of pinstripes. Web gems on
all
the big board.
It. I am all for
Come
it.
Come on.
All for it. So they released a statement. So there's your team name news. Here I just found some. This is on 4th of July. Naps, Spiders, Guardians, Wild Things, Buckeyes, and Rocks.
You say like naps, like a napkin?
NAPS. Yeah, I don't know what the correlation is there.
The wet naps?
I don't know.
Something?
You go Wild Things, you lean into the movie history.
Hey, I'm down for that.
I could be okay. Cleveland Guardians?
Then the Angels might be pissed. Like, hey, we're the only team that can be based off of a movie. Right?
You can't go.
Taking our idea.
Buckeyes. No, come on. That already exists. Yeah,
can't do that.
Spiders is the easy choice here. You got history there. It's sweet uniforms. Awesome mascots. Intimidating. Yeah, that if they don't go Spiders, they're totally missing out. Those jerseys are sweet. I tweeted them out if you want to go check them out at Theodore Johnson over the weekend. All right, let's stick in the NFL. There was something that came out late last week that I wanted to talk about. I'm curious how people feel about this. We have a poll question up on it today. with the charge of trying to return sports all over the country, would you sign a waiver to attend a sporting event in person? 503-250-1080. That's the Fan text line. We'll get to that crunch time coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness with the Beaverton Aloha Division locations all back up and running.
Let's go!
$0 enrollment, $0 for the first 30 days. Go check them out, crunch.com. I got some good deals going on here early in July. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. College football, there's an interesting situation going on in college football that we need to talk about. So we get to that coming up in the final hour. There was one prominent NBA scout that had a pretty scathing comment on Anthony Simons. I don't know if you saw this earlier today, but as the NBA gears up for returning. So, yeah, we got a lot to get to. We'll also talk about Joe's ribs. Joe wants to talk about his ribs. We'll talk about that in the final hour.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
Pretty proud of those ribs?
Yep, pretty good.
This came out late last week. I wanted to talk about it. Ooh, also cardboard cutouts at stadiums. Sorry, I forgot about that. We'll get to that in the final hour. This came out late last week, and it was interesting, and I want to know how people feel about it. So we have a poll question up on this at Dirt and Sprague at 1080 The Fan. You can also chime in, 503-250-1080. Daniel Kaplan of The Athletic reported that the league was considering, because this has been kind of, you've had some NFL teams that have said, we want fans, we're expecting fans, we're going to have fans, limited fans, full fans, right? It's been kind of different all over the country, but a lot of people want to put butts in the seats because you're going to lose revenue if you don't have it, right? That's the obvious. So Daniel Kaplan reported that the NFL is considering requiring fans sign a liability waiver to protect the league from lawsuits if fans are to attend games this year. So, right, we're going to allow fans. You want to come, it's fine. You got to sign a waiver that says if you catch the COVID, if you pass it to somebody, if something bad happens to you, we're not personally responsible for everything that's going to come your way. They said, an unnamed source said this to him. He said, quote, it is probably something you do electronically, just trying to figure out the operational challenges associated with waivers, just to have how it works out the best, all that. But essentially, yeah, trying to get themselves out of legal trouble if fans are allowed in the stadium. Would you, Joe Fisher, be willing to sign a waiver to attend a live sporting event in person in 2020?
That's a no. I mean, that to me clearly is like a, hey, good chance you might get it here. Like if they didn't have this waiver, I almost feel like it would be better to get people into the stands in a sense, because with there being a waiver, you're acknowledging, yeah, it could be here. Yeah, you could get sick, but don't, we're not in trouble. Don't come after us, okay? This was at your own risk.
Yeah, you chose to come here.
They say ignorance is bliss. Now, with or without a waiver, I would not have gone. I mean, I'm not going to consider going to any big gathering like this, thousands of people, until I get a lot of government scientists, officials saying, yeah, you're okay, good to go. But I would think for the people that are determined to go watch the game regardless, if you don't have a waiver, more people are just going to show up thinking it's fine. Now, you do have to cover your back end because, I mean, this is America. We love our lawsuits, so I understand them why they have this.
Right.
But, yeah, to me, it's even more of like a sign that it's like, yeah, you have a really good chance of getting this, so much so that we're going to have you sign a waiver saying that you can't come after us because you got it here.
Yeah, if you know, back to back people texting in saying, yeah, it's my health, my choice, I'd do it. Somebody said, show me where to sign. This is a no-brainer. Another one, hell no, I'm not going to attend a large gathering until the pandemic is under control. So you're going to have differing sides of this. I personally probably wouldn't do it. I don't have that desire to immediately jump back into a large gathering of that level. Now, I am desperate for live sports and the things that I'm watching and the classic games that I'm still diving into, like, I cannot wait to have something to watch on a regular basis, and I'm hoping we're going to get that here coming up at the end of the month and going into August and then further into football season. But there's a difference between wanting to watch and wanting to attend a live sporting event.
Right, right.
This, I had two reactions to this. One was it's smart for them to do this, right, from a legal standpoint of saying, like, dude, yeah, of course, it's a large gathering. If we're going to put fans in the stands, we don't want to be held responsible if something is going to happen. I don't even know how you would be able to, and maybe there are smarter people out there than I am that could figure out, can you even trace it back to that exact moment of where they caught it, right? Like, so if somebody gets sick 2 or 3 weeks after going to a game, you can make the argument you got sick at the game, but I don't know if you could actually prove that. So who knows how easy of a lawsuit that would be to make. The second reaction, though, I had was, I'm all for them wanting to do this. I understand that they need to protect their business for having fans in the stands. I hope it doesn't lead to, though, cutting corners in safety, right? Of saying, we know that we can get people to sign a waiver to come, so we're not financially responsible or legally responsible if anything is to happen to them.
So open concessions, right? No social distancing, yeah, right? No masks required.
Exactly. We're going to fill every seat. It doesn't matter, right? Like, so I'm just hoping that's not the case, because I think we've learned in a lot of areas of sports, and baseball players are going through this more than anybody, not more than anybody, but more than any other sport right now, is saying, like, dude, shouldn't safety be the first thing? Like, that, once we get through that, then we can talk about fans and we can talk about how the season's going to look. And I know the owners are desperate to make money back and not lose as much, and I totally get that. I just want to make sure that the waiver isn't something that allows them to cut corners, because some people are going to be willing to do this. Some people are okay taking risks right now. Some people don't think the virus is as big of a threat as other people, right? You have differing opinions out there. There's going to be a lot of folks that are saying, hell yeah, as we just read on the text line, like, I'll go to a game in a heartbeat. I want everybody to be as safe as possible.
Now, and I'm going to look at it from my own point of view, as far as like me personally, is that I don't have a ton of disposable income to go to Oregon games, basketball games, any sporting event I want. Most of the time I go is because of a ticket hookup, maybe through work somehow, or if I'm going, I wanted to start covering Blazer games, so I started to do that a lot more in March, and then all this happened and it couldn't go anymore.
right.
So if that window opened up again, it's like, hey, we're going to do games back at the Moda Center, and press are allowed to come in, and we're going to let some, I still wouldn't want to do it. You know, it's just, like you said, everybody's going to have that personal choice, but if it were up to me, Joe, free admission, you're going to go there.
Yeah, cover go ahead,
it.
Joe.
You can go cover it as press. I'm good. I'm still good at this point.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's an all or nothing with sports and attendance and games and things like that. It's like, I don't want things to come back half-assed, basically, because, I mean, look what is happening with the MLB. We're trying to get it going. We got 60, and it's somewhat become of a debacle. We're not even close to the beginning of the NFL college football season, but you already hear the rumblings from students, from former athletes in the NFL. How are you even going to play a game? So I see it as, get me to the sport when the sport is back to how it used to be, and when thousands of people can be next to each other in the stadiums without a care of, is this person next to me going to get me sick? And am I going to get someone else in my life sick? So.
Right.
That's where I'm personally coming from, is that I can't afford to go to these games. So buying a ticket alone is already a decision that I have to make. But if I am given free choice where I don't have to pay for anything, I don't want my sports back until they are back to normal.
Yeah, at least with fans in the stands. You might be able to pull it off with players and that kind of stuff.
You know, and then at that point, yeah, no fans are going to be there. It's just the game, and that's going to satiate our live sports appetite immensely.
For sure. We're going to have something to watch every single day.
Exactly. But the going there, signing, yeah, it's just like, no, I think I'll just go once we are back to normal.
Yeah, it's a different animal. So the NFL is considering that. I thought that was interesting. Wanted to get to it late last week and just kind of got lost in the shuffle. But they're considering having fans sign waivers to attend sporting events. We got a poll question on that at Thornton Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. You can go vote on it. Would you sign a waiver to attend a sporting event in person in 2020? I tend to think that we're a ways off for things being normal in terms of attending games again. I think we've had optimistic predictions of vaccines maybe coming at the end of the year or early 2021.
And even those were said to be cautiously optimistic.
Cautiously, right. And you're hoping that it can be widespread. And you're hoping that it works. There's no guarantee that it works right away. So I think that's kind of my timeline for being comfortable with it. But everybody has their own choice. And I was curious how many people would be willing to sign that petition. By the way, one quick note I wanted to mention, because I didn't realize this. The Knapp name, we were just talking about the Cleveland Indians changing their name.
Yeah.
So apparently they had an early Cleveland star, whose name was Napoleon. They called him Knapps back then. Somebody texted in that he was one of their stars, second baseman, and from like 1903 to 1914, now a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so just go back, make sure he didn't drop an N-word anywhere. I think we're good. Go ahead. I mean, if he's a good guy and he's a part of the history of that team For sure. I'm all for that.
Yeah, and somebody said the Cleveland Buckeyes were the Negro League team back then. Apparently they won a championship in 1946, so that's why they tied that in. It wasn't just an Ohio State thing. I didn't have a good base of my Ohio team name understandings.
Damn you.
So there you go. I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize that's why Naps was the favorite potentially to be the new name. I saw one Giants beat writer. They should name them the Cleveland LeBrons. I just thought, oh God, that would piss so many people off. So many people would hate
maybe
that.
A bunch of players might want to come play for them.
Maybe
now.
They would.
Wait,
maybe
LeBron's on the team? No, what? No, no. They're just the no, team is no. named LeBron.
It's just named after him. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. A Beaverton Aloha division all back up and running. $0 enrollment, $0 for the first 30 days. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations. I'll be back at the gym on Wednesday and Thursday this week. Lots to get to in the final hour of the show. Cardboard cutouts. Anthony Simons was dissed. We got some college football notes to get to. Joe wants to talk about his ribs. It's going to be a busy final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.